Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about. One of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Medication, when taken and prescribed correctly, can change a person's life for the better. However, when abused, it can make a seemingly harmless person into someone dangerous. On March 10th, 1998, a young boy committed a truly heinous crime and blamed it all on his medication. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Living in the middle-class neighborhood of Camelot, located in South Huntsville, Alabama, was the Franklin family. Made up of Father Jerry, Mother Cynthia, and children Jeffrey, Stacy, Sarah, Timothy, and Christopher, the idyllic area was known for safety, community, and family values. All that changed, however, one dark night in 1998. On March 10th, 1998, someone living in Camelot looked out and saw their neighbor's 17-year-old son exiting their home covered in blood. Completely baffled and worried beyond measure, the police were called and, after a brief chase, a boy named Jeffrey Franklin was arrested. He was frenzied, shirtless, spat at a photographer, and had what appeared to be a pitchfork, pentagram, and upside-down cross, depending on the sources, carved into his torso. Led away while making faces at anyone who gathered, police figured out that the boy had been awake for days. Now, they just had to figure out whose blood was covering his skin. It wasn't long before they reached the Franklin home and found Jeffrey's parents, 48-year-old Gerald and 44-year-old Cynthia, lying dead inside. Also there, but thankfully still alive, were all three of Jeffrey's siblings, who, seriously injured, were rushed quickly to a nearby hospital. Each had suffered from head and face injuries, from what appeared to be an axe and some sort of large, blunt force object. Though in critical condition, all three miraculously survived, though their injuries were life-altering, as was the loss of their parents who, from what police could figure, were beaten to death with a sledgehammer and a hatchet by their 17-year-old son in what they believed was an act of devil worship. Jeffrey, by all accounts, was a completely normal boy until the onset of puberty. This major change in hormones also brought with it a change in his personality, and much to his parents' shock, Their sweet, smart, and pleasant little boy began behaving in such a way that he had to be tested for behavioral issues around the time he entered high school. That's when he was prescribed a cocktail of Ritalin, Prozac, and Klonopin, which Jeffrey later admitted he began abusing around the same time he became interested in the occult. Listening to more hardcore music, in a 2005 interview with a local television station, Jeffrey stated that if it had not been for the drugs and the music, the murders would have never taken place. He began writing in his diary, drawing many, quote, occultist images, and along with those drawings came a detailed plan of how he was going to murder his entire family. After staying up for 3 days straight, the teenage boy, lying awake in his room, began deteriorating mentally and hearing voices that told him to kill his parents and his siblings. He finally gave in to those commands on March 10th, when he first stabbed his mother with a rat tail file, slashed his 14-year-old sister Sarah in the neck, bludgeoned his father with a sledgehammer, and then attacked his brothers, Timothy, just 8 years old, and Christopher, just 6. Thankfully, his 11-year-old sister Stacy had been away at dance class when the murders took place. However, when she came home and found her family lying in pools of their own blood, she too had to be rushed to the hospital. Taken to court, Jeffrey's lawyer, Robert Tootin, claimed that the devil worship was to blame for the murders, but the Ritalin, which the boy snorted, pushed him into a state of full-blown total psychosis. Pleading guilty to multiple counts of murder and attempted murder, in the end, the young boy was given 5 life sentences with the possibility of parole after serving 15 years. After his sentence, Jeffrey Franklin wrote a letter to Judge Lloyd Little asking that his parole hearing be moved to an earlier date. The request was denied, as were his potential paroles in September of 2016 and again in 2022. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to A Terrible Thing Happened on March 11th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.